Going to look at Job this morning to begin with in chapter 12. You've got your Bibles this morning, chapter 12, beginning in verse 13. Well, to answer part of that question that I'd asked previously of why things don't be seem to going in a righteous and holy way, it's because we have forgotten who God is. We have forgotten that He is to be awed, He is to be feared. He does not need us in any form or fashion. We bring nothing to the table. And Job came to this point in his life, and in one of the speeches that he gave, it's very powerful. It says, with him, and this is beginning verse 13, with him are wisdom and might. To him belong counsel and understanding. So they're his. You can't have what's not yours. You see, in our world today of entitlement, everyone thinks that they deserve something and everything belongs to them. You know, that's what our government's trying to do, is to make everybody the same. They're going to have the elite of the elite, and then everybody else will be the same. And it's not. Somebody that works hard and by the sweat of their brow and has more than someone else shouldn't be held responsible for someone else not having something else. You know, those that seem to work the hardest, and then all of a sudden they keep putting more abundance on them so that those that don't want to work have what those have that do work. And this is what's happening in our society, because we have forgotten that God, everything belongs to Him. And He can give to whom He gives, and He can take away what He wants. He'll bless who He blesses. He'll curse who He curses. And that's His sovereignty. And you can't have what God owns unless God allows you to have it. It says, behold, He tears down and it cannot be rebuilt. He imprisons a man and there can be no release. Behold, He restrains the waters and they dry up. And He sends them out and they inundate the earth. With Him are strength and sound wisdom. The misled and the misleader belongs to Him. Even Satan is under God's authority. God has allowed him to roam around the earth, seeking whom he may devour. But he didn't leave the world without the protection of not being devoured, and that's, he left the living word as a written word with the power of the Holy Spirit to understand the wisdom and the mysteries of God. So man is accountable for their own demise. God has presented and prepared a way for us to not be deceived, but yet we seem to be more deceived nowadays than we've ever been. But listen to all the stuff. He and this is verse 18. He loosens the bonds of kings. He binds their loins with a girdle. He makes priests walk barefoot and overthrows the secure ones. He deprives the trusted ones of speech and takes away the discernment of the elders. He pours contempt on the nobles. He loosens the belt of the strong. He reveals mysteries from the darkness and brings the deep darkness into light. Key word is there with God is reveal. You can't get this and can't have this unless God chooses to reveal it to you. Our world doesn't seek God's revelation. What we want from God is a better house, a bigger car, a bigger home, better health. You know, we want Him to be that physical God that takes care of all of our physical needs. The big daddy in the sky, the big genie in the sky with a lamp that you just rub and poof, all good things happen to you. That's not the God of scriptures. He makes the nations great. He destroys them. this nation will be destroyed. Don't you think for one moment that there's salvation in either party, the Democratic or the Republican Party? Both of those are wanting to get rid of the other party. They can't get anything done for the people because they're so bent on making the other party look so bad. They don't get votes based upon what they're going to do for the people and govern the people under God's wisdom and counsel. But they get their votes on showing how bad the other party is because they want to get rid of the other party. America will fall just like the other nations are falling. There will eventually be a one-party system. There will eventually be a dictatorship. There will eventually all your rights and things will be gone. All because we have turned our backs upon Almighty God. He makes nations great. At one time, America was a great nation. People feared America. If you were American and you went to a foreign country, people were like in awe of you. I remember when we went to Japan, I was only 3 or 4 years old, up to, I think 5 years old, up to at least either 3 years. And I remember us going to Mount Fuji. And man, people were stopping us all the time to have their pictures taken with us. We were Americans. And Americans had come there to see and visit their country. And man, the respect that we were shown just by the fact that we were Americans. Now they cut our heads off. Now they drag our bodies in the streets. They mock us. God makes nations great. Then he destroys them. He enlarges the nations, but he leads them away. He deprives the intelligence of chiefs of the earth's people. The Bible says that he's going to cause a great delusion. There's going to be a great delusion that he's going to allow so that people will believe what is false. Again, this passage of Scripture coming true, we're seeing it. And he makes them wander in the pathless waste. They grope in darkness with no light. And he makes them stagger like a drunken man. The sad thing is, we don't know we're a drunken man. An alcoholic doesn't know he's an alcoholic till he comes to that revelation that he's an alcoholic, that he can't live without that drug in his body. You can't help an alcoholic. You can't help a sinful nation until that sinful nation realizes why they're sinful. Why we're seeing America crumble before our eyes. We forgot that there's a sovereign God. He says these things must take place before the returning of my son. Let's look at Daniel chapter 2. This revelation of God is not new. It's talked about all in the Old Testament as much as in the New Testament. We pick up here in Daniel here, chapter 2, verse 19. And what has happened to this point is King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. He didn't tell anybody what his dream was. He called all the wise men, the conjurers, all those people that could supposedly know things that are unknown. And he called them and says, I want you to tell me what my dream is. And they, of course, came up with a lot of garbage. No one could tell him what his dream was. If I have a dream and I say, Brian, tell me my dream, that's an impossible task to know what my dream is. He can't know what that is. And so all these people that prophesied in vain and declared to have these special powers were brought to truth. And so he decided he would kill all the wise people. And this is where kind of Daniel comes onto the scene, and he goes to Arioch and says, wait a minute, don't do that. That's not, because they were also going to be killed as well. He goes to that commander and says, don't do this. Give me some time here and let me inquire of God and see what happens. It says, and this is where, again, in 19, then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a night vision, then Daniel blessed God of heaven. So Daniel was just any ordinary man. But God chose to reveal mysteries to him. God chose to reveal. And understand, this was all in God's plan of Nebuchadnezzar being humbled and coming down to where these great nations are humbled, and for the prophecy of what was to come. So this was all in God's purpose. Daniel just didn't have a special gift to use for his own so that he could be a multimillionaire and sell books and do all those things that we do with God's truth to gain monetary benefits. But God had given him a gift. And listen to what Daniel said, how the humility behind Daniel. Let the name of God be blessed. First of all, he gave God the glory forever and ever. For wisdom and power belong to him. It is he who changes the times and the epochs. He removes kings and establishes kings. See, America has forgotten that. Our world has forgotten that. That God establishes and he also takes away. That he has that in his power. He gives wisdom to wise men. Where does wisdom come from? Where is the only place that wisdom comes from? The fear of God. Is there any fear of God in our nation today? Is there any fear of God in our world today? Is there any fear of God in your life? God gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. Where does knowledge come from? Same place. Fear of God. How do I know this? Because I'm so smart? No, because God's word says the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. The beginning of knowledge is the fear of God. Read Proverbs. The wisest man in the world wrote that. It is he, listen to this, that reveals the profound and hidden things. See, he knows what's in the darkness. You and I don't know what's in the darkness. We don't know what we're capable of. We don't know our own hearts. See, it's through the scriptures and the teaching of the Word of God and practicing the Word of God that we come to that revelation, that knowledge that God brings us, that we're lost, that we're hopeless and helpless without him. It's only through the revelation of God that all of these things are even possible, that we can even get and understand anything that's ever taught or preached according to God's Word. But he knows what's in the darkness. And the light dwells in him. That's the only place there's light. That's the only place that there's light is in God. It says Jesus even said, I am now the light of the world. But men like darkness. They don't like the light. Why? Because, see, the light exposes what's in the dark. And men don't want to look at the depravity of their own hearts. You see, it's easier to look at somebody else, or it's easier to change it and make what was wrong right. See, as soon as we get done making everything that's wrong right, there was some talk that shooting in Louisville, that, well, it was self-defense. Where is it ever self-defense for somebody to get mad at somebody and pull a gun out and shoot them? Now, if the guy had a scalpel blade and jabbing her or something like that, maybe so. See, self-defense is when your life, you feel like you cannot do anything but other than to shoot or take that life of that person if there's no other way out. That there's absolutely no other way out. Well, you got people all around. You got people that could restrain them and all this kind of stuff. But yet, our world is going to entertain that the killing of this guy is going to be self-defense. You see where I'm going with it? This is what we're doing. We're taking everything that is right and giving people reasons for being wrong. God doesn't give reasons for wrong. He says you're wrong. You're born in iniquity. You're born dead in your trespasses of sin, and therefore you're in darkness. But he is light, and he'll expose that light in your, that darkness in your life. This is why no one likes reading the scriptures. Because it exposes what we are and who we are, and then he takes it and brings it practically in our lives so that we learn from what he has taught us in his word. See, it's not that desire to be righteous that we're going after God, but it's that desire to go to heaven. And that's a tremendous difference in a desire to go to heaven and a desire to be righteousness, because it says in scriptures that he died on a cross for us that we might become the righteousness of God. To you, O God, my Father, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and power. So he really understands where his wisdom and power comes from, that he knows that he's nothing. Even now you have made known to me what we have requested of you. So they went in with a request. It wasn't like, God, you owe me. God, because I preach, you owe me. Because I teach, you owe me. Because I put in the offering plate, you owe me. Because I go on mission trips, you owe me. Because I help at the food bank, you owe me. No, God doesn't owe us anything. You've made known to me what we request of you, for you have made known to us the king's matter. Therefore Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and spoke to him as follows, "Do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Take me into the king's presence, and I will declare the interpretation to the king." Then Arioch hurriedly brought Daniel into the king's presence and spoke to him as follows, "I have found a man among the exiles of Judah who can make the interpretation known to the king." What's amazing here and what they leave out is not just the interpretation of the dream, but he's going to tell him what the dream is, which is more amazing than interpreting the dream. The king said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, "Are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and its interpretation?" Daniel answered before the king and said, "As for your mystery about which the king has inquired, neither wise men, conjurers, or magicians, nor diviners are able to declare it to the king. However, there is a God, a big G-O-D, in heaven who reveals mysteries." There's a great truth here. The mysteries of God can only be revealed, not to become known by man's study or man's desires or man's wisdom or man's intelligence. We can know nothing about God unless he reveals it to us. However, there's a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will take place in the latter days. This was your dream and the vision in your mind while you're in your bed. As for you, O king, while you're in your bed, your thoughts turned to what would take place in the future. And he who reveals mysteries has made known to you what will take place. What God's teaching us through the life of Daniel is that there would become a greater revelation to mankind. And it's Jesus Christ. God would reveal himself to man in the form of his Son, Jesus Christ. So there would be no mist, so the mystery of God would be unfolded before men. He who reveals mysteries has made known to you what will take place, but as for me, so here's the purpose to tell you what's going to happen in the future, but as for me, this mystery has not been revealed to me for any wisdom residing in me more than any other living man. See, that gift we have and that knowledge we have of the mystery of God that's been given to each and every one of us, that's been sealed by the Holy Spirit in the new birth, is not for us. It's not because we're any different than anyone else, but it's because of the graciousness and the mercy and the holiness of God that we're allowed to have that mystery and know that mystery of God. It just says, Daniel says here, it's not for my purpose of making the interpretation known to a king that you may understand the thoughts of your mind. So it wasn't for him. It was for God's purpose. God saves us for his purpose, for his good pleasure, not for ours. And that's a revelation. Matthew 3. begin in verse 10. And disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak them in parables?" Parables were stories that have spiritual meanings that man cannot understand. And so the disciples, even themselves, who followed Christ very closely, were hand-picked by Jesus Christ. "Why do you speak in these parables?" And Jesus answered them, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted." We talked about it in Sunday school a little bit. You can't have this. You can't get this just because you want it. The religious world teaches you come to God whenever you want to. That he's there waiting, and you get to choose the time and the epochs of your own salvation. You don't get to do that. Salvation is not something that man can give to another man. It's only granted by God. No one comes to the Father that's not granted. No one can come to me that the Father does not allow, Jesus told them. And yet, we have religion all over the world that says, just come as you are. Well, you can't come until it's granted. And then that's where the fear of salvation and trembling come in at, is that the fact that unless I request God's to reveal his truth in me and to reveal the darkness of my heart, if I don't request God to do that through his holy scriptures, then you're not saved. But we have a world that says, just come anytime you want, anytime you get emotional feeling, anytime you're down on your luck, just come, and you can come to God anytime you want to. You cannot come to God anytime you want to. You have to be obedient to the call of God in your life. See, this is a lie of Satan. It's a blinding light lie where people now are coming to Christ, but they haven't been called. If you come to me and I don't call you, I'm just going to, what are you doing here? See, we don't look at the realization of Scripture. We make up our own because God leaves so much that we don't understand about him, that man decides that they'll fill in the blanks. Jesus said to you, "It has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not. Forever who has, to him more shall be given, and he who will have an abundance, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while they see, they do not see, and while they hear, they do not hear, and do not understand." So that's why the Word of God can be taught and the truth of God can be taught and nobody seems to get it, because it's not been granted by God. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, "You will keep on hearing, but you'll not understand. You'll keep on seeing, but you don't perceive. For the heart of the people has become dull, and with their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and return, and I would heal them." But see, there is a partial hardening of the Jewish people. Doesn't sound fair, does it? Who are we to judge the fairness of God? Who are you, O man, to say to God, "Why did you make me this way?" Who are you to debate and determine if God is fair and good? Have we become so arrogant as a people that we now are questioning Almighty and Holy God? You see, people sit, and there are people that have gone to church their whole life, but never have become the church. And they will stand before Almighty God, and he says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." It is your responsibility to make that request to God to see if you're one of those people. If you don't sit quietly with Almighty God and find out where you stand before Him, instead of determining where you stand before Him by how you feel or what you do. This is something only God can do, something only God can give. But man has made it where it's just so easy. We have a false believing that's going on, that people are believing in vain because there's not been a call of God in their life. They do not see clearly who they are. They do not understand why Jesus came. And it was only so that you would not perish. Because He is the only one that can free you from the bondage of sin, cleanse you from sin. You see, that's what salvation is. Not just believing in Jesus Christ. And that's not what the Bible teaches. That just believe in Jesus Christ and you're saved. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. Not because you studied at the best universities. Not because you joined a Bible study and you go every Tuesday. You still can't get it. Every effort that you put forth to get this will come and fall short in vain. If God does not allow it. For truly I say to you that many prophets, and righteous men have desired to see what you see and do not see it, and to hear what you hear and do not hear it. You see, with that void that's left in our life that we're filling with religion instead of the truth of God, we're making the things that are impossible possible. And unfortunately, the sad part of this is that most folks will never put the request into Almighty God for salvation. They will assume that they're saved because they said a prayer. They'll assume that they're saved because they were raised up in a church in a Christian family. You cannot raise children of God. You can only lead them to the one that can save them. But see, we have got this generation of religion that believes they can just pass on religions. Most kids that are born in Baptist, stay Baptist. Most kids born in Catholic, stay Catholic. Most kids that are born in Methodist, stay Methodist. If they stay. But how many of those are born again? By only the power of Holy God. You see, it's through the revealing power that we humbly go to God and say, reveal yourself to me. Every time I pick up the Word of God, I tell Him, I realize that I can't get this. I know there's no amount of studying. See, I did all of that when I was religious. That's how I know what I know, was because of what God brought me through. And I used to study this thing. I'd study 15, 20 hours for a Sunday school lesson. And then I'd make sure they get what I thought I was supposed to give them, instead of just simply speaking truth that God tells me. It's a lot easier now. It's a lot easier now. I don't have to come up with a sermon. I just have to tell you what God's Word says. This is a pretty easy job, folks. You know, no wonder I don't get paid. It shouldn't get paid for this, to be honest with you. It's so easy because you just tell people what God says, and then it's their responsibility to figure out what to do with it. And you can't figure out what to do with it unless God reveals it to you. Especially if you're a young person, you've raised up in a Baptist church, you better make that request to God. If all you did was say a prayer and somebody said, welcome to the kingdom of God, dunked you in some water, you better check it out. When you stand before Him, it's too late. Depart from me, I never knew you. See, I hope you can understand by beginning you know, in Job, where God is sovereign over all, and he does what he wants to do because he's God. And he doesn't have to explain it to man. He doesn't have to give a reason for it. And he's not held accountable by man either. It's the other way around. Man is going to be held accountable by what's written in the Word of God. And the reason we don't get it is because we have been led to believe that we can get it by the works of our flesh instead of the Spirit of God. It's sad. But everything that's written in that book is going to come true. And God warns us not to be arrogant. He warns us not to be prideful. He warns us that we better fall on our knees before a holy, sovereign God and beg and plead for salvation. Because there is a wrath to come.